Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Hodge to Hodge Podcast, where we have co-producers Ken and Rondaya Hodge. This is the messenger edition of Lock Talk Radio from Hodge to Hodge. This is Nurse Carmen, and we thank you for tuning in. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Now you will have the messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening to each and every one tonight. We come to you tonight once again. I said good evening to each and every one. We come tonight to once again bring a word that we hope will help you with your desire to get closer to the Creator, a word that will help you realize that you are part of creation, a word that would give you some kind of a hindsight to better examine oneself, to know for themselves just who it is that we are and whom we belong to. It is so important for us to let go of so many of the things in which we were taught, as they would say, from our early existence until this present time. We realize that we have been given a special connection, a special gift from the Creator. When we were created in the likeness of God. And what we have gotten kind of confused is when they say likeness, we think that God, that we look like God. We think that when he created us, we don't realize that when he created us, he created us himself. And the very word says, all that God created was good. Everything he created was good. And so we have to understand that that includes us. We are good by nature. It is unnatural for us to do a lot of the things that we do. So we got to understand our true nature. And our true nature, because of who we really are, is love.
Hey, Brother Messenger.
Yes, sir.
How is it that people who believe in God, who worship God, hear the words that God is love? All that God created is good, but yet we have bad. If God only created good, where does this bad come from?
The bad comes from our makeup of this world, that we have to label something. And because we have to label something, we put a name to something. And what we have to understand is, just because, as we've said so many times on the podcast, just because it's not something that you don't like, does not make it bad. All things work together for the good. All things. And we don't seem to understand or can accept that, because we can't think of God as being that gracious, that powerful, that awesome. We can't picture that. And this is why when we mention about sin and stuff of that nature, we tell you that it's not so. They think that we are some stuff. Because even though they talk to you and they tell you just how awesome God is, how loving he is, how understanding he is, they always think, but. But with God, there is no per se but. But because of our limited thinking, we think that there's got to be a but. We think that if you don't cross your I, cross your T, and dot your I, we think that something is wrong. It's not right, because that is what we have come accustomed to.
But it could also
now, I'm
be...
not here.
Could also be that, and again, it may sound horrible what I'm about to say, but could it be that the world itself is so deteriorated from what it should be, that just the mere concept of everybody love everybody is foreign? I mean, as a race of beings, and I'm not only talking in the United States, worldwide. Is it that we have learned or become so accustomed to the competition, to stepping on each other to get ahead, that is so interwoven into the fabric of our being that the concept of God is love don't really make sense to a lot of people? They like to say it, but if you are a true believer of whatever, and there is a supreme being, God, Allah, or whomever it is that you pay homage to, you got to see that it's all about love. And if you can't see that, then how could you even begin to say that that you believe the concept that God is love? Did that sound confusing?
No, not at all. And it's confusing. It's only confusing to the fact that you, as I've said so many times on different podcasts, you've got so many Muslims. You've got so many Catholics. You've got so many Baptists. You've got so many, all these different, as you were saying, all of these different religions. 95% of the people believe in some kind of religion or another. Yet, we have no love. When God is love, and just as you were saying, when you search the core foundation of each religion, it all goes to love. But that is the one thing that we don't have. We have, but we don't use. We have it because it is in our DNA. It is natural for us to love. And this is why when we love, we feel so good. Unless we're fiddling around with something that not really love, but we're trying to make it love. Well, I'll change that. It's lust, and we're trying to make it love. But love is who we are. We were created out of love, from love. So love is the core. This is why one of the in the Baptist religion, it's love thy neighbor as thyself. Love ye one another. These are things that are preached throughout all the different denominations of religion. But they just won't do it because everybody thinks it's a survival of the fittest. Everyone thinks that there is not enough. And so everyone is trying to strive, quote unquote, to be that number one. On different podcasts and stuff, there's so many times, my brother, you've said, just to use his name, Bill Gates, there is no way he can spend all that money. But because everybody wants to be, quote unquote, number one, they just keep striving for that. And he has gotten to a point where he's finally come to that conclusion. But not enough to get rid of it all. But each year he donates millions and millions of dollars to help out the needy. But we can't say, we think that there is not enough. We think that God did not know what the plan was when all of this started. We act like we don't know what we were doing. Because as I've said so many times, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, this is what the Bible tells us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's all it was. So you have to understand that you were in the beginning. It was you that did the creation. Because you are a part of God. And we've got to, you know, people want to take words and it's easier for people to accept the fact that they're a part of the devil than to accept the fact that they're part of God. Even the most religious people, they're quick to tell you that, you know, you can ask forgiveness from your sins for whatever it was that the devil made you do. But they'll hang you on a cross if you say that you are part of God. But if the devil got a hold of you, then they'll do whatever they can to kind of perform an exorcism or something like that. But if you're talking about God, then they want to burn you to the cross.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. It is another concept to think about. if you knew that when you did this act that people refer to as sin, regardless of what it is that you sinned or whatever act you committed, you're going to be forgiven. What is the purpose of keep asking? If I know I'm already going to be forgiven, why do I have to ask? Is that to please what? What is the purpose of that?
The purpose of that is to please man.
I said, I know I jumped off subject a little bit, but that thought just came to me. And with our organized religions, all of them, no matter what you do, you're going to be forgiven. You might have to say 10 Hail Marys for our fathers or donate $1,000 to the pledge offering, but you're going to be forgiven. That's not an issue. So do we really believe that there's a God out there that already told you you're going to be forgiven? You just got to keep coming asking me? Does that make sense?
It doesn't make sense to me, my brother. It doesn't make sense to me because if you use their theory, and what I mean by their theory is Jesus was God in the flesh. He came and he died for our sins. So if he died for our sins, and they also say that when he died, he took all the sins to the cross with him.
But what they meant was he took all the sins that was available at that time. As soon as that came after that, he said, I'm accountable for those. Those you got to ask for your own forgiveness.
Yeah, but you know, I know you're being funny to stress your point to see just how silly their belief is, but when you look at when you look at the stuff that we believe with no real foundation and no real understanding, just the fact that somebody told me so. And see what happens, and the reason why they're able to hold a grip on these people is because people don't understand the universal laws that have been applied. And what I mean by that, the universal law of the fact that you give, you shall receive. So what they did is they tied that law, you give, you shall receive, into the universe, into that law of tithing of 10%. And see, people, they tithe, and then when they get something in return, they think it's because of religion. This is why there are some people that'll go without paying their rent but pay their tithes, because they don't truly understand what it is. They're going by what it is that someone has told them.
You know what, Brother Messenger, I'm sorry, but just before we did the show tonight, I was doing I was trolling online, and that's the last video I watched with, Any Given Sunday, where that preacher told his people, your life feel about to get cut off, don't worry about it, pay your tithes, he'll take care of it.
think about that, and you know, and he and there are people that will do that. There are people that will do that, and as you said so many times, you look at some of these big, what they call mega churches, and the money that these people are giving. Now, some of them, they just have the money to give, and that's fine. But for you to wreak havoc on everyone for your own selfish desires in the name of God. In the name of God, God said to do this. If God wanted you to do something, he would tell you to do it. You might not listen, but he will tell you.
If the basic precept to God is love, then that means everything that comes after that has got to have that love foundation. And if you have that love foundation, how do you own people if you have that love foundation? If you have that love foundation, how do you have wars and kill people in the name of what you call love? So, you know, when we look at this whole organized religion or on any aspect, when you talk about you are a God-serving or God-fearing, God-understanding person, if anything that you do is designed to hurt people, then you got to stop and recheck your thoughts, man. Because there's nothing about loving God or being a part or dedicated to this organized religion should tell you that anything you do other than help someone is probably not worth it.
Well, once again, as I was starting to say before, that's why you have to take a look at, for instance, our lawmakers. They feel that capitalism is more better. Now, they've taken the word socialism and made it a nasty, dirty thing, but socialism would be each person helping each other. That's what it would be, but not this particular president that we have now, but the majority of the presidents we've had, they was under one kind of faith or another. And not only the president, but the congresspeople. But it's such a dirty, nasty thing that we can't, we've got to separate church from state. How can you really do that? How can you make the separation? Because of who we are, there is no separation. But the reason it's got to be separation is because because it doesn't align with what it is that they want. They want to be rulers.
If I'm a God-fearing man, it's impossible to separate church from state.
Well, first of all, there should be no reason whatsoever to fear God. So that's another misconception that they've got for us. Why are you going to be scared of yourself? What are you going to do to yourself that is so bad? So, but we, you know what I mean? But and it also states that we do not have the spirit of fear. So if we don't have the spirit of fear, why are we fearing who we are? Another thing that they've told us, they've also told us that God is like your friend. God is your best friend. When you don't have a mother, God is there. When you don't have a father, God is there. Now, why would you fear your best friend? Because these are just little things that they've put into our psyche to help control the way we think. And so we've got to be mindful of these things. I hate to keep saying it, but as I said so many times before, we have to use the intellect and the wisdom that God has given us. But what happens is we have gone to the point where we have been so indoctrinated in some unnecessary stories that have been told to us over the years that we just refuse to let it go.
Well, I don't know, you know, I don't know if it's so much of refusing to let it go. It's just hard to let go, and you have to dedicate yourself to thinking different. But again, once you've been indoctrinated, once you've been told something, I don't even like that word indoctrinated, but once you've been told something over and over again, I'm talking about 100 years, 200 years, that same lie or that same story has been penetrated and permeates into your brain, it's hard to not think that way.
It's hard not to think that way, but you can. And
yes,
not
you
enough
can.
Is thinking it. It's not enough is changing it.
Well, I mean, it's evident that you can. That's why we have this podcast. But it's not easy.
Well, right now.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's only not easy because we choose to make it not easy. I'll give you a good example of what I'm talking about. If you're an alcoholic, it's easy to say no. It's just a question of whether you're going to say it or not. You wake up in the morning, it's easy. You want to go to work. It's up to you to decide yes or no. It's not hard. Those days that you know you got to go to work and you've made up in your mind you ain't going, it ain't hard not to go to work, is it?
Not at all.
Right, so we make it hard because it's just as simple as saying yes or no. Now, yes, sometime because of some of the stuff that you've been told over the years, it might pop up in your head, but then you still have that ability to change it. You are a creator. So because you are a creator, each day, each minute, you are creating your life. And so when you choose not to listen to it, that is a choice that you made. But it's not that you couldn't have made another choice. But for fear of the unknown or fear of offending someone, even though if we really look at it, according to the rules and regulations of the different religions and stuff, we offend them all the time. And we go by the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. We have so many killings each year, it's ridiculous. And not only just thugs are killing people, per se.
Right.
But each and every one of them made a choice, and it wasn't hard. They just decided that that's what they were going to do. There are some people that started to make that choice and change. and realized that, no, this isn't it, and they just changed.
But, I mean, just to show you the level of hypocrisy that goes into that, I'm a firm believer in the Ten Commandments, but I just passed a law that we can have capital murder. We can have a death sentence. So what am I doing?
Yes.
And I'm turning right back around and tell you, you know, make sure you go to church on Sunday.
Yes. And I've said this many times before, what good is going to church on Sunday? If you go in Sunday morning, go into church, and when you come back out, you the same as you were when you went in there. Couldn't you
don't
have
make
went to the, you could have went to the you could have went to the gym.
Mm.
You're a little different when you come out of the gym than you are when you come out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
You go in the gym and exercise, you're a little healthier, a little stronger, a little something. You go in the church, you're supposed to come out a little wiser. But it's hard to be wise when you're being fed a bunch of stuff that truthfully don't amount to anything. And what I meant, remember I told you before how they told them stories, and because of certain laws that's established in the universe, that they think that because things are happening, it has to do with the praying. Okay, for instance, you go to church and you have these long prayers and all of this and that about anything, and it comes to pass, they think it's because of that prayer, that so-called prayer. But it was because of their faith, regardless of whether they were in church or not, whether they said this long, drawn-out prayer or whatever, it's because they believe. But because they believed, they tied it in with the prayer, and then they made the prayer more powerful than who they really are. When you go to God, you should only be going to God giving thanks. Thank you. Thank you. That's it. Because everything else, you really, all you have to do is believe it. And it will come to pass. And that goes for the $1 million that you want. You thank them, even though it hasn't come to you. And when you start to, as we said before, you know, when we talked about visualizing and seeing things, when new things start to happen, you just start thanking them in advance because it is coming. You don't have to ask him for it. You really don't. Why? Because he already knows. Because he is a part of you. It says in the scripture, it says somewhere in the scripture where God knows your thoughts before you know them.
That's right. Amen.
And it's because he is a part of you. He is in you. He knows you. You should, and the problem is we don't know him. And we don't know him because people have been telling us who he is other than who he really is or what it really is.
Mm.
We've got the whole concept, we got the whole concept of God, the source, the energy, confused, and we still think that God is this man in the sky who is granting us wishes.
Amen.
But if you want God to grant your wishes, then you create what it is that you want.
Hey, podcast audience, how you doing? This is co-producer. I thank you for joining the messenger tonight. And I know he's probably still got about 60 minutes left in him. Hope we both got this right now. And hey, we'll see you Thursday night, and we'll continue.
Amen, my brother.
The love of God.
I love you all. And nobody
love you
can
too.
Know about it, all right?
Good night, everybody.
Right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Love is in the air.
Amen.
Every time I look around.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, good night, audience.
Good night, Edward.